Okay, item number four, report and possible discussion on reports from the Bogdan Group, pension advisor by Richard Holden. Richard.
Thank you. You should all, let's see, John's got the reports. He said he'll pass them out.
Y'all have these in here also.
Right. But when you get your report, if you'd open it to page two, and I'll give you a little bit of summary of what's transpired recently in the markets, and then we'll move on to the Brazos portfolios. And on page two, if you... It's not a very pretty picture for the last quarter. If you were in equity assets, whether you were domestic or whether you were international, everything was negative. If you had a preponderance of fixed income assets, then you had some positive returns for the quarter, up in the basically averaging in the 2% area, which also causes a problem going forward, meaning that interest rates have fallen a little bit more, and so looking forward, expectations from fixed income would be reduced. From the standpoint of 1 year, as we all know, with what was going on in Greece and Spain and Italy and the Eurozone, the international markets had significant sell-offs for the year. Emerging markets were impacted also. Down in the 14 to 15% area, primarily from the standpoint of negative, from the standpoint of international markets. From the standpoint of the domestic market, though, in general, there was a positive return, the Russell 3000 being up almost 4% for the trailing 12 months. And the domestic bonds had significant, if you will, positive performance over that 12-month period. On page three, a little bit of breakdown between what happened in the capitalization ranges and the style of managing portfolios. Growth significantly outperformed value, both for the quarter and for the year. In general, and quite frankly, for the trailing 12 months, size really mattered. If you were in larger cap securities, especially large cap growth, then you had significant positive returns, up close to 6%. If you were in small and mid cap growth, however, you were almost a negative 3%. So there was a significant difference from the standpoint of size performance in the overall portfolios. That also has implications within the style or within the capitalization ranges themselves. When you have a big movement towards the larger capitalization area, it also impacts the mid-cap and the small-cap area, because the larger securities in each one of those would tend to do better. So from the standpoint of most managed portfolios, most probably they're going to lag during this particular point in time, because they're more equal-weighted rather than capital-weighted, capitalization-weighted in the way in which they're constructed. If you'd like, we can go through page by page, but really the next thing of real importance is on page nine, and that's in the lower right-hand corner, and that's what's been happening with the Treasury yield curve. The yield curve, December of 2009, being up around, a little over 4.5%, and the yield curve June of 2012, significantly lower, down just above 2.5%. So there's been a significant, if you will, drop in interest rates, you know, I know the Fed says they're not going to touch interest rates from the standpoint of the shorter end of the spectrum where they have some real influence until 2014. And, you know, maybe our folks from Merrill Lynch can add some additional information on that, but I can tell you that whether they do, whether they don't, the real risk in fixed income securities is being caught with longer dated securities when interest rates do begin to rise. Next couple of pages just basically showing the overall, if you will, diversification of the plans. We do have, you know, some significant diversification starting to take place. From the standpoint of the ending in June 30th on page 11, looking at the various things we now... Yes.
I'm sorry, where did the hedge fund come from?
That is... that's an analyst going, what's an MLP? Okay. But I'm going to take care of that. That's not going to be there next time.
Okay. Thank you. Concerning terminology.
That's... So we now have diversification into MLPs. We have diversification into real estate via REITs. We have some smaller and mid-capitalization securities on the domestic side. We have international equity securities and domestic large-cap securities. So the diversification is beginning to enter into the overall plan. Initially, we've had positive results out of both MLPs and out of the real estate, which is good. You know, short term, it's hard to tell where they're going to go. Long term, I think they're both going to be very beneficial for the plan.
Why do we have 8% in cash?
That's part of the, if you will, transition that was going on with the defined contribution. The defined contribution plan, that'll be reallocated as we move forward.
And we need to make payments.
Most of that's already gone away.
Yeah, okay.
This is as of June 30th. We still had about $1.3 million. We were really in the earlier stages, or about halfway through the distribution. But
okay.
Like I said, now we're down to much less in cash as of today.
On page 13, from the standpoint of the overall targets for the various asset classes, pretty much in line with longer-term expectations. And this chart, by the way, eliminates that excessive amount of cash that's in there. That's from what, you know, the remaining assets versus the cash that was going to be distributed.
We're showing the real estate with 5% and the MLP with a minus.
Well, MLPs were just instituted, and when we bought the initial allocation into MLPs, we bought it on the basis of where the market was at that particular point in time. And the market, from the standpoint of June, went up. So MLPs were a little bit behind what happened during the month of June, so that's slightly under on an allocation basis.
The value went up, though.
Excuse me?
The value of the MLP
yes.
went up.
Yes. They did go up, but not quite as much as the overall equity in the month of June. Also, the month of July was a very kind month from the standpoint of the overall market. And the other thing is, and it is that the first 6 months, and I would venture to say the first 7 months, are the best 6 and 7 months for the equity markets in the U.S. since 2003. But it sure as hell doesn't feel like it. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride, but from the standpoint of absolute return, the markets have been, you know, very good. And that goes in line with what, you know, most of the time tends to happen during a presidential election year. And knock on wood, hopefully the last half of this year is going to be the same way. I mean, in the standpoint of a presidential election year, the last 6 months of that year, 85% of the time is a positive market. So if we can get a positive market the last half of the year, we should have a you know, a decent, if you will, calendar year return.
On a question about the Merrill Lynch BlackRock fixed income fund amount.
Okay.
How's that trans? What's that going to look like on the transition side? You guys, we're not going to be forced to sell something, render a loss on forced sales, are we? Are we just going to transfer those assets?
No, they're already held with Wells Fargo.
Okay. So y'all are just, that's what you're managing. We're not going to change the asset. The asset stays still.
Okay. Well, if there's a transfer to a different investment manager, there would probably be sales. And my, you know, I would say that there should be significant gains in many of those securities, the overall portfolio.
So we are going to be forced to sell.
Yeah.
If you make a change.
Yeah.
If you were to change from it. As it stands, if you stay with BlackRock, there's no, they're not going to change anything. But we've got agenda items coming up where he's going to review.
Our choices, right.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused on BlackRock. Help me understand exactly what's transpiring.
Well, it's really on Merrill Lynch's side. Yeah. They're electing to not have public funds business.
Right, remember that.
So they're backing away from it. And then BlackRock, as the investment manager, it's kind of convenient that it already had an outside custodian. But in some of these cases, we're having to find new custodians. But this is already, it's at Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo is a custodian.
Correct. Gotcha. So we can still just trade directly, you know, the assets that stay there. And you just have
swap names.
Well, and the equity trades.
Custodial names, right?
What's that?
As far as the custodial part of it, it shouldn't affect being forced to sell anything.
What's different would be, like, right now we've been doing all of our equity trades through Merrill Lynch, and now these equity trades can be done whoever Wells Fargo wants to do.
Okay.
There's another piece that would probably help clarify. Originally, it was Merrill Lynch and not BlackRock that did the launch cap.
Right.
And then when BlackRock, actually we bought from BlackRock and we sold it back to BlackRock. So if you, at one time it was just straight through Merrill Lynch and then with BlackRock.
And Bank of America bought.
Right. But nothing, the management kind of separated, but nothing ever really changed. Because the actual team and assets went to BlackRock that originally started the account manager.
Interesting, but a little bit confusing for us.
I'll put it out that one. Thank you.
So we may or may not be forced to sell. It depends on what we decide to do with our management group and how they look at it.
And if there are gains in there, the sale would capture those gains, and your actuary would immediately recognize those gains versus what he does on an averaging from the standpoint of unrealized gains and losses.
If we elect to make a change, over what period of time would we decide to sell this or hold a particular security?
Well, if you decide to make it, actually, that's another a part of as soon as we finish the overall report on performance, we're going to go into information on the fixed income portfolio and the way the results versus some other results that are available that our research department thinks would be great from the standpoint of options for you to look at, and the same thing with the equity portfolio. That could be done almost immediately, or that could be done over a period of time. That would be, you know, based on what we want to do.
Okay. In other words, the assets could be transferred in kind, basically.
What we're basically looking at are mutual funds, so that would be more of a liquidation and a transfer of cash.
On that, I understand. Okay. But on the fixed income, is it the same relationship?
Same thing.
Good. Can it be done otherwise?
We could look at separate account management again, where the assets would then just be transferred over and they would be sold by the new account manager or continue to be maintained under whatever, you know, the BlackRock umbrella or under another separate account manager that would trade the assets over time. Rather than,
but
most of them, when they get them, quite frankly, they trade them within a week.
Well,
or two.
I know they do, and that's the reason I'm asking the question. And
may not be the best info.
Well, we've right now, from the standpoint of where we are in the at least calendar year cycle, assets are up. So, from the standpoint of the actuary looking at his report, and if he's got gains in there and there are sales, from that standpoint, the actual gains are taken right into his return calculations. The unrealized gains and losses are then, you know, amortized over a period of time.
I can't remember looking at the bond portfolio, the fixed income. Are we positive or negative if we liquidated it today, just say?
I believe we're positive.
And some of that collateralized mortgage obligations are positive?
Well, those get amortized down.
Some of that junk we bought?
Unrealized gain of $176,000.
But is that real practical, though? See, my experience is when you can write the market reports all you want, but when you take it to market, you get a whole different game.
That's right.
And you may or may not see near that kind of gain, because you now have a new market day to day. That's my point.
That's true.
And I don't see why we'd have to force a sale if we had the same custodian, but maybe I don't understand that.
Well, if you're transferring the asset to different management, then that sale normally occurs very quickly. I mean, and the new manager would be buying at the same level in the market for, you know, X the transition cost.
So you mean sell it and buy it back?
Right,
well, he wouldn't be buying the same securities back, but he'd be buying securities within the same market level that
right,
he would be
right,
selling.
Right, so on the same market.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
We'd be able to measure if you were a very good investment manager. Because you can buy the same securities, right?
Could.
I'm glad I'm a banker. We get beat up over simple things, like you're not paying them enough interest. Everybody
right.
Understand that. Okay.
Okay, if I could just quickly turn to page 17 and take a look at the overall portfolio. It was a tough quarter. We saw that earlier. The quarter from standpoint of the retirement plan was down 2.7%. Year-to-date basis up 5.6, and trailing year basically, you know, flat, just flat. 3 years up 9.5, and 5 years 1.6, about 80 basis points below the trust policy from that over that period of time. There were a number of factors that went into this. We had underperformance pretty much across the board from standpoint of the domestic equity securities. BlackRock was down 3.9. S&P 500 was down 2.8. Royce Premier Fund was down 8.1%. And the Russell 2500, which is small and mid-cap securities, was down 4.1. So both of them underperformed their index at that point in time. The international manager was right in line with the overall international index, down 7.3 versus the index down 7.4. Harbor International runs those assets. The total fixed income was right in line with the intermediate aggregate, 1.3 positive. And that's the BlackRock portfolio, Cohen & Steers, a little bit below the REIT index, 2.8 versus 3.7.
On Royce, that is a significant miss. Is there any reason that...
Well, the major factor, quite frankly, in all of that is, I believe, the capitalization issue, and that Royce tends to run a fairly aggressive portfolio within the mid-cap area. They would be equal-weighted, the index would be capitalization-weighted, and they would have been behind because of that. Well, the other thing is it's their quote-unquote premier fund, so during times when the market does very well, they tend to do exceptionally well. When the market is off, they'll be off with the market, or maybe even a little bit more.
Well, you and I had a brief conversation about it. When we compare, use Russell 2500 as an index, is that really a true comparison of the market that Royce is in? I mean, and I think I'm hearing you say there is some deviation from what would be normally considered the holdings in the Russell 2500.
That's true in the
Royce portfolio.
That's true, and plus they would be running on an equal weighted basis versus capitalization weighted. In all of these index or capitalization weighted, because they are run on a value basis versus a portfolio, quite frankly, a portfolio basis. And there are times when the indexes do better. There are times when active management.
I understand that, but I just
does better. Now, from the standpoint of since inception, they've had it. They're 60 basis points below the index. They're above average compared to other small cap core equity managers. They were significantly above. This quarter brought them down below.
Yeah.
If this is in the knock on wood, will be an up quarter, then we should see some decent returns out of the Royce Premier Fund.
Well, I was just concerned that
it was
management change. Did something occur that caused them to be that far off?
I don't think it has anything to do with their from the standpoint of their utilization of their overall strategy. I don't think that was what the overall thing was. And their strategy obviously was out of phase with what was going on in the market.
Yeah. And I just wondered if we know where they were overweight or underweight to cause that. So it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, that's the basic contributing factors to the underperformance for the quarter. From a positive standpoint, the movement into the Cohen & Steers real estate did produce some positive results to offset a little bit of some of the negative results of the quarter, and slightly positive results, but we don't have a full quarter with the MLPs. And that information is portrayed graphically on page 18. You can see out over longer periods of time, out over the five-year time frame, the overall retirement trust is around average or median returns, slightly above median for the 4 years, below median for the 3 years, above median for two, and then this latest sell-off brought it back down below median for the trailing year.
Quick question on that Cohen & Steers, just so I'll understand. Is the inception date the date we buy the fund, or is that the date the fund started?
That's the date we buy the fund. That's inception is from the standpoint of when we've got our money.
It says 8% on inception. We got 2.8.
Right, because it actually started in March. So it has a month ahead. It has another month of returns there. It's got 4 months worth of return.
So that March was a lot better. It must have been much
better. Yes. We had the initial month was a very good month. for...
And that's why year-to-date is an NA, because we didn't have it for the whole...
That's
we
right.
We didn't have it since January.
So we got full 12.
That's correct.
Okay.
Sorry.
Whole period that's
correct. And that was good. Now, all the others are also, you know, graphic portrayals. From the standpoint of the fixed income and the equity, we have separate booklets to go over that, the same type of data in a graphic format also. Any other questions on performance?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate 10 being exceptionally good? How would you rate our performance overall?
From the standpoint of from the total plan, looking out over the longer time frame, I would rate it about a 5. From the standpoint of the shorter term, performance, and I guess you're talking. Let's see, 10 was the good one.
Minus 2.
I would rate it down around 2. And the primary reason is there's still a little bit of lack of diversification in the overall plan, and I think we'll be able to bring some of that into play as we move forward.
Thank you, Rita. Anybody have any other questions about the performance of the plans? What being determined? There's not much out there.
It's a tough nut. It's a really, really tough period of time.
Richard, make a couple of comments about you would about other public plans. And there's really big ones. The one I look at a lot that seems to set the standard is the Dallas Police and Fire Plan.
How they're doing?
Well, they
except for the because and so there are public plans that have actually done. Well, over the last, relatively speaking, over the last decade, is that,
yes,
is that not correct?
That is correct.
And they're doing different things.
They are doing a lot of different things
than what we're doing, but they're hitting their targets. They're hitting
now
their 7-8% targets. Basically.
Well, we tied our hand with the S&P as the only place we
they're doing a lot of alternative. And Richard talked to a
they
lot
are,
of
they are doing like a that. Significant amount of alternative investing. They've got a very high, I don't know the exact numbers, but a high allocation to private real estate. They've got a high allocation to private equity. They've got some private debt. Which adds stability during times when the market really sells off and over long periods of time tends to have higher returns than public securities. Now, when the market really goes up, like we did in 2010 or that type of thing, they lag a little bit from the standpoint of the fact that they've got private assets. But if you look at a rolling 5-year period, they tend to do very, very well.
Relatively speaking, size are they 2 times larger, 10 times larger?
Oh, good Lord! They're 100 times.
Okay,
billion. So
Dallas Police and Fire is $3 billion versus our 19 billion.
Yeah, but you can do some of these. You can do some of the private stuff. There are fund of funds and private equity and fund of funds and private real estate and private debt that you can get into. It's a matter of whether you want to look out and say, okay, when I do this, I'm entering into a 10-year relationship and I'm going to get married and we're just going to
minority interest
stick
too.
With
you
it.
Know, you have no say. And
well, that's true.
It's not always
and you, but way. You don't want to have a lot of say.
Mm.
I don't.
You lose control, though. There's benefits.
Well, the thing you got to be cognizant of and very careful is that when you're doing it with someone who has a lot of their own skin in the game.
You look at some of these big endowments; they lost a ton of money in all of those private programs that they got involved in.
You see that in the press, but. that, you know, the what they lost was because they put too much money in there, and they had gone into obligations for funding different things, and so they had to sell some of them that were other private institutions or endowment funds or whatever bought them from them, but they bought them from them at a discount. And there are also, from the standpoint of private areas, what are known as secondary funds, that actually, when those types of time frames come up and somebody needs the liquidity, they provide the liquidity, and they're purchased at a discount. Somewhat helps from the standpoint of adding stability to the purchaser, because they have already got something that has been out there for a little while, and they're not waiting for it to build value. There's already value there that starts getting recognized very, very soon. But we can certainly, once we move through some of these things that we've got going on, look at some of those other opportunities and see if you want to enter into it, if you want to consider it, whatever. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with the private area over the last 20 years.
We just have to have plenty. I mean, have to have our liquidity factors. We're going to be paying out a lot of money.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's part of the
Yeah, we're paying out about 8% of our fund a year in benefits.
Right.
So we have to be fairly liquid. Okay. Anybody have any other questions for Richard's report? If not, we'll move.